I hope we haven't left anyone out or overlooked. We are here in the name of the Lord. We are here in very great expectation. And today we will have to make the decision whether we want to believe or whether we cannot believe. And I think that we are destined to believe God, as Abraham believed, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. So we are destined to believe God. And when the Holy Scripture says that the whole world lies in wickedness, then it was true then, and it is still true today. But it's just as true what Paul has written. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3 and 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Some are in darkness, the others walk in the light, and can say with all their heart, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light on my path. When Brother Rus read the word which Peter also used, then a sorrow came over me, and I thought by myself, if only this man had been spared. But in the next moment, a totally different thought came to me. How often have we denied our Lord? How often we didn't open the Bible where we could have opened it? How often we did not give testimony where we could have given testimony? Peter denied the Lord 3 times. We may have denied him 3 times, 30 times, or 3 times, 300 times. Let us please not sit here and think, Peter, we feel sorry for you. It had to be this way. He too had to find out his limits, that he is a fallible human being, as we have also, so I hope, have found out. And then, when it happened, the Lord turned and looked at Peter in love, and he wept bitterly. It will not be different with us. Every time when we missed an occasion to confess the Lord, then a contrition comes upon us, and we say, Lord, forgive us and be merciful to us. Help us the next time that we don't deny you. I had made up my mind to carry the Bible on my journeys, open in my hand, to by this make the people aware of that they probably could address me. And then when one comes into socialist and communist and Islamic countries and knows exactly what attitude there is, then the Bible remains in the hand luggage. Then it remains in the hand luggage. We know the hour of God comes for everything. There we have full confidence. God is still on the throne. He has a plan. He has a program. And he finishes his divine plan of salvation in these days. And we may be a part of this divine plan of salvation by grace. I would like in these meetings read as many scriptures as possible, so that we have a scriptural foundation for our faith. One can read one scripture and then speak about it, and one can read a few to illuminate unto us that what is being looked at from all sides. One thing I ask you to forgive me. I have, on my last journey, caught a little cold from the tropical heat. And if there is a tickle in my throat, then I can't help it. It's earthly things. They come and go, but they come faster than they go sometimes. And so we take also this as it comes and don't quarrel with ourselves. Before we read, we will pray. Before we pray, we will read. But before that, I would like to make the announcements that we, God willing, and when everything runs according to plan, so that you know what is still in our program, and we hope also in the program of God. Some time ago, it was on my heart to preach the gospel to the people of this city. You all know, one has a responsibility into all the word is carried, and in one's own city, the people don't know anything about it, and this grieves us and makes us sad. And here the thought came to me, we have as our neighbor the largest shopping center in all the surrounding. And so a second thought came to me, just ask the boss there whether it's not possible to preach to all these people the gospel. And behold, I had the courage and we met each other for the first time. And we had a cup of coffee together. And he said, Mr. Frank, this I want to tell you straight away. I am an atheist. And this sounded already very good. With such people, God can do much. Very much. Those who are pious, we can forget. But these people, God can use in a good way. I just asked him that he lets me know how he came to this attitude. And when he then told me the things, I stretched out my hand over the table and said, I congratulate. We switched on the same transmitter with a difference that God has given me grace to distinguish between church and him. We had a very nice conversation and he said, I'm glad when you will preach the gospel to the people on the coming Saturday. Yes, a priest would certainly not have said that, and a parson also not, and the pious people of the city also not. Many would not have said that. He said it. And so we made up our mind according to the scripture. What is it? Matthew 10, 27 or 37, wherever. What you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. Also, this is a scripture. So that the scripture might be fulfilled, I climb tomorrow upon the roof of this house, and then the loudspeakers shall carry the word of the Lord, that all of the surrounding, and for my sake the whole city, shall hear it. We have a wonderful message. The message of the cross, the most glorious that exists on earth. And we are also not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It has become the power of God to us. Why shouldn't it also become the power of God for others? So we planned at 9:30 to have the first service here on the roof. But please, don't come up here. It's enough that I climb on it. And then at 10 o'clock, we are here in the building. And then at 11:30, again on the roof. And then at 2:30, again on the roof. So that we make use of this Saturday. We hope that God will let us succeed, that he gives grace to it, as written in the prophet. Whether they hear it or not, they shall know that a prophet was amongst them. The people shall know that we still believe, as the scripture says, and that we don't need to be ashamed. Everyone who interprets must be ashamed, but not those who believe with all their heart, as God has said it. To redeem the time, I ask that we stand up, and I would like to read a word, and then we'll pray and look at other scriptures. Hebrews chapter 12 from verse 18. Hebrews 12 from verse 18. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so much as a beast touch the mountain, it shall be stoned, or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, from the bottom of our hearts, we thank you for the Bible, for the Old and for the New Testament, for the perfect conformity and divine harmony which we find therein. And even more, we thank you for it, that you revealed unto us your plan of salvation through your Holy Spirit, and that you included us into this plan of salvation. May today and in these days, that what happened on Calvary and what was prepared for us, may it happen on us and in us and through us. That Calvary would not just be here to look at, but that it could become an experience with God. Faithful Lord, we lay everything before you, and we ask for the leading and inspiration of your Holy Spirit, and we place the whole meeting under the coverage of the blood of the Lamb. And we ask you, Lord, be thou in our midst. Reveal unto us your word and your will. Stretch forth thine arm. Let signs and wonders happen. Yes, confirm thy word at the end, as you did at the beginning. To you, the Almighty God, we say thanks for everything. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. There are hours in which something happens that has an impact. There are days in the history and the plan of salvation on which very special things took place. One of these days was that Good Friday, when our Lord hung between heaven and earth. being nailed to the cross, and as we heard, mocked, spit at, with a crown of thorns on his head, hanging a purple mantle around him, and mocking him with the words that he is king. One even said on the cross, he helped others, himself he cannot help. He helped all of us. All of us. Salvation was given through Calvary. And today I would like to read some scriptures on purpose to show us who we believe. Nevertheless, to show us the necessity from the scripture why redemption through the blood became necessary. Some days ago, I was in Jakarta, and it happened that a man, a businessman from Hamburg, suddenly said, "I would like to talk with you." And this man, whether he was already a millionaire or wanted to become one, I don't know. In any case, he said, "I have studied all the other religions. I've read, and now I ask you, why did blood have to be shed in our Christian religion?" In the moment when he said that, I didn't know yet what to do with it. I knew that blood was shed, but the reason about this I didn't speak before. And so today we will prove from the Holy Scripture why God had to come into the flesh, why he had to become man, to save mankind from destruction, from death, and to make us a divine kindred, and to give us eternal life by grace. You know how difficult it is for me to hold something back. I am not a preacher like all those other trained people who have a structure and who have a climax at the end of the sermon. I'm so overwhelmed by the things that God is revealing to us that I just can't hold them back. Satan, via the serpent, he entered the human race. Cain was the product. And so God had to find a way to come into the human race, to undo the damage done there, and to shed holy blood on this earth, to redeem us who we fell in the fall, and to redeem us out of the fall, and thus to bail us out from the realm of Satan and bringing us back into the realm of God. I could say amen right now. The sermon is preached. We could thank God. Let us read. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1 from verse 4 to verse 6. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. Here it speaks of the redemption through the blood. Today we don't go from beginning to the end, but we start with the book of Revelation and then come back to Moses to understand God's way of why what happened and had to happen. The main point here is that he loved us and redeemed us from our sins through his blood. All other religions have had philosophers and have philosophies. We have received life from God, for the life of the body is in the blood. We will still get to that, and then we will see why had to happen what happened. 1 John chapter 4 from verse 9 to 10. 1 John chapter 4 from verse, yes, we read 9 and 10. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atonement for our sins. The word only begotten, most languages do not hit the point at all. I think here on the French and other translations, there is the word unique or whatever. The word only begotten, I want to explain to you very briefly, and pardon me when it's being said here, but regarding Jesus Christ, nothing came from Mary's side, but that what naturally comes from the man and from the woman and unites, it came both by a divine act of creation, and therefore not twofold but only begotten, the beginning of the creation of God. Did we get it? An earthly body, but divine creation, not a mixture of man and God, but a God-man. Amen. Amen. A God-man. To restore humanity to the divine kindred. Bible translators, who were no prophets and had no revelation about the original sin, let alone the redemption that became necessary, they searched for words and did their best. But by grace, we may not only read the Bible today, we read today the Holy Scripture in the light of the revealed Word, in the light of the full revelation of everything that has happened since the Garden of Eden. And when I think about it, yes, I was just thinking about it. I once talked to some doctor about the original sin, and this man was a fantastic person with much knowledge and equipped with a high talent and a believing man. But then he spit on the floor and said, only the thought that Eve got involved, it is so absurd, you can't even listen to it, you can't bear it. That what remained hidden to the high, this God revealed to the babes to show us, as I said before, to show us the necessity of our redemption from the scripture. Here it is about the love of God. God loved us, not we him, and now we may love him in return, because he loved us first, namely with and in his divine love, which never began and will never end. Here it's also about atonement for our sins. It had to be atoned for that what happened in the Garden of Eden plucked the human race out from the hand of God. God had to take it back that way, and he did. Praise be to his wonderful name. Let him get lost who does not want to be saved. What can we do about it? That people do not accept the salvation that God has given, but try to be saved in their own way. Let us read from Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1, from verse 18 to 21. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Do we see that nothing went wrong at all? That Christ, as the Lamb of God, was foreordained before the foundation of the world. So God had already planned for the fall. God is not surprised. God knew exactly how Eve would react, how Adam would react, and that's why he was able to determine in advance what was to happen after the fall took place. Let us think about this wonderful formulation that hits the point. Ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. The price is a divine price. Redemption is a divine action here on this earth. All we have to do is accept it by faith and thank God for it with all our heart. We read in Hebrews from chapter 12, once again, verse 24. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. I have said it repeatedly. The blood of Christ does not only speak, the blood of Christ acquits. It acquits as if we had never sinned. When Cain killed Abel, there it says, I hear the voice. Let me read it so that we have the exact wording. Genesis chapter 4 from verse 9. Genesis 4 from verse 9. And the Lord said unto Cain, Where is Abel, thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, What hast thou done? The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. Read this word to a clever man who puts his glasses forward, that a blood cries, then he would say, you see what it says in the Bible? How is blood supposed to cry out? There should be a voice that could be heard. Do you see what it's about? In the blood is the life. Oh, that we would grasp it once for all. I hear the voice of the blood crying to me. The blood of Jesus Christ cries out, Mercy, mercy, free, pardon, once and for all. Oh yes, the blood of Christ speaks better and louder than the blood of Abel was able to speak. It acquitted you. Amen. We believe it with all our heart. I said it in the beginning. We must choose whether we want to believe or whether we want to drown in unbelief. He that believeth shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. This is written in the Bible. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. And faith must come to us by hearing. And I think the word has awakened enough confidence in us that it is credible to us and that we receive it and accept it with all our heart and respect what is written in it. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Let us believe that the new covenant for the New Testament church came into force on Calvary, and that God laid the guilt and sin of all of us upon the Lamb of God, and the Lamb of God took away the sins of the world. You don't have to bear them anymore. The Lamb of God bore them and atoned for them and has forgiven. You are free. Believe and accept it. Anyone should be able to grasp that. And then I go one step further. If you cannot grasp it, then let it grasp you. Let it overwhelm you. Sometimes we can't. Then God must do it. God has to do it anyway, so that we can say yes. I read on from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 and 20. Hebrews chapter 10, 19 and 20. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us, through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. This is the new living way prepared for us by the blood of the Lamb. Jesus could say already before, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But it was not until the blood was shed that this way, this truth, this life could come to us. And it has come to us. And only the blood-bought multitude will walk on this holy way. Only the blood-bought multitude will accept the divine truth. The others will philosophize about it, not we. When Jesus says, I am the way, then I don't have to explain that. When he says, I am the bread, then it's not my business to explain that in any way. When he says, I am, yes, he said it 7 times in a row, what he is, we don't explain anything. We believe that he is all in all. When it's about walking, then he is the way. When it's about the truth, then he is the truth. When it's about life, then he is the life. When it's about light, then he is the light. Whatever it may be about, he is the central point from which everything starts and where everything merges for me and for you. When it says here that we may enter with joyful boldness by the blood of Jesus into the Holy of Holies, then let us do it today with joyful boldness, with a grateful heart, that the way was prepared, that the veil was rent, and that this blood of the Lamb was sprinkled upon the mercy seat to intercede for us in the presence of our God. The Lord, as the high priest, he entered with his own blood into the Holy of Holies. I will read it to you just now from Hebrews 9, verse 11. Hebrews 9, verse 11. But Christ, being come an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. What do you want to add here? Today we have not yet the Lord's Supper. But when I think about it, that in all of the Roman Church, the two elements are to be transubstantiated in blood, and I mean the wine into blood, and the bread into the body, then this grieves me that people are being misled. There is no need of a transubstantiation into the blood or into the body of Christ. Do you know what is needed? It needs people who let themselves be transformed by the offering of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. There comes a man and makes back and forth, and then something is supposed to have changed. Nothing has been transformed at all. But there, where God's word, the word of the cross, is proclaimed, there no one needs to do this or that anymore. We only need to let God work, so that the transformation takes place in us. For he offered one sacrifice once for all. Nowhere it is written that his sacrifice should be renewed over and again. No, and again no. Through his accomplished sacrifice, people were to be renewed and be born again and receive divine life. This is the biblical message. Hear this, all ye peoples, and you Christian religions, whoever you are. The original gospel has been so corrupted that there is no trace left of what God had given and entrusted to his church at the beginning. In Hebrews 9, verse 20 and 22, we read Hebrews 9, 20 and 22. Saying, this is the blood of the covenant which God has enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission. This is the essence of the divine message. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Which blood is meant by it? The blood that God intended to give us forgiveness by his grace. We go on to Hebrews chapter 2, Hebrews chapter 2, 14 and 15. Here is written as follows. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Also, this is a very wonderful word and touches the core of our salvation. He had to become man and take on flesh and blood, becoming a part of this earthly world in order to be able to shed his holy blood here on this earth. And you all know of the story of Brother Branham. He tells it so beautifully. He says, I can see Satan going down. Or when Satan saw the Lord coming down, then he thought, now I finally have the one I've always been waiting for. And what happened? Our Lord conquered Satan. He conquered death. He conquered hell. And rose from the dead on the third day. And said, I live, and ye shall live also. He came to give us life, that we have it more abundantly. He descended to hell, so that you and I can be taken up into heaven. That would have been our place. But because he has taken our place, you no longer have to fear hell. I really like saying that. When I back then, on the 31st of December 1980, came into the hospital, and I knew that my hour has come. It was a bliss. It was glorious. No fear, not at all. On the contrary, a glorious joy it was. When I thought of going from time into eternity, you have nothing to fear anymore. Your Lord and Redeemer took your place. He died in your place. He atoned for your sin. He was made sin for us, that in him we might become partakers of God's righteousness. When it is then said, God sees us as if we had never sinned, then we do not deny that we have sinned. We only confess that sin can no longer be held against us. According to the scripture, blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven. And when God forgives, he forgives fully. We sometimes forgive bit by bit, ourselves a bit faster than the others. But God totally forgives and remembers sins no more. A second bill can no longer be issued. The first has been settled, and the letter of requirements was torn into pieces. The bailiff should become unemployed. He can no longer find anything from us and can no longer fetch anything. Everything is settled. Everything is paid for. It is true. Do you all believe it? Do you believe it with all your heart? Don't be tormented any longer. Stand with God and agree with God. And then we all come to our right by the help of God. I read on from Colossians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, verse 19 and 20. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Did he do it? He did it. How did he do it? We read it. Through his blood that he shed on the cross. There is a whole denomination of several million people who deny that Christ was crucified. They deny that Christ was crucified. What would be with us if he would not have been crucified? We believe, as the scripture says, the testimony of the Word of God has become our testimony. We don't listen to people. We listen to God. It was the counsel of God to let all the fullness dwell in him. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You can read it, Colossians 2, verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He was here in a bodily shape, but the fullness of God, the fullness of the Spirit, dwelt in this earthly temple. Did we get it? What else is written in Hebrews? There are so many things. Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me, a holy body in which holy blood flowed. Divine life was here on earth in a human shape. This is the gospel. This is the fulfillment of the counsel of God. People are talking about self-fulfillment these days. Everyone wants to fulfill himself. How they want to do it, they don't know themselves. But God knew it. Christ, the firstborn among many brethren, he the first fruit from the dead, and we the first fruits and the firstborn. We read it in Hebrews, in chapter 12. We have come to the church of the living God, to the just man made perfect, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, to the just man made perfect. Amen. We are citizens of God. On earth we are pilgrims, and we confess, my home is there on high, where nothing is known of sorrow and pain, as the hymn goes. This is our home. Paul sets it forth in Galatians. The Jerusalem above is the mother of us all. She is free. We have been set free also from all denominations. And I just hope that we have the courage to leave also the rest of the old leaven behind us, so that really everything can become new by grace. Let us read on from Colossians chapter 2. From Colossians 2, from verse 13, here it says, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, has he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Can you believe, as the scripture says? The amen is too weak. Can you believe what the scripture says? Amen. And again, amen. Today we take side with God and say that the devil is a liar, and that God is real. Of Jesus Christ, my Lord, it says in 1 John 5, verse 20, he is the true God and eternal life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. He said, I am the good shepherd. I give my life for the sheep, for they shall have life, and have it more abundantly? Did he bring it? Did we receive it? Is the redemption a finished work of God? Or do you want to help yourself? Let it happen to you today. And I tell you how that happens. By believing what the scripture says. And when you agree with God and say, Lord, from today on, I won't look at myself anymore. From today on, I look at what happened for me and what you made of me. Of course, we are still waiting for the changing of our bodies, and there may still be some trials and difficulties ahead of us. But one thing should be clear once and for all, that we have received divine eternal life in our soul by believing in Jesus Christ our Lord. And on this eternal life, nothing changes at all. God cannot give life and then take it away again. If God wanted to go along with our ups and downs like that, then he wouldn't know, excuse the expression, in the end where we are. It's impossible. No matter what comes or goes, we have to agree with God and take his side and say yes to everything he said in his word. We read from the Gospel of John, when it comes to the crucifixion, to the direct events which deal with our Lord, then I like to read the Gospel of John. John was so close to the Lord. He observed everything very sharply and well. John chapter 19 from verse 28 to 30. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fully fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Here we find the formulation, so that the scripture might be fully fulfilled. There was just one thing missing. Just one thing. Namely, that they gave him vinegar to drink. That one thing of 109 prophecies that were fulfilled at his first coming, 108 were fulfilled. Only one was missing. This one. Then we read here, that the scripture might be fully fulfilled. He said, I thirst. The scripture cannot be broken. Fear not. God watches over his word. Even if we sometimes think that everything has already happened, God knows best. He will do the rest. Yes, the last promise he will fulfill, so that the scripture is not broken. Listen, I read again. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fully fulfilled, he said, Do you see the emphasis here? Do you see what it's about? So that the scripture might be fully fulfilled. I thirst. And then there was a vessel full of vinegar and so forth. And they gave him to drink. And then we read in verse 30, when Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." This we still preach today. It is finished. Every prophecy, every statement, everything that was written concerning him was fulfilled. From his birth to his death on the cross, to his burial and resurrection and his ascension. Everything happened according to the scripture. On us, who we have become believers by grace, believing on him, and we believe the word in its fullness. Likewise, every promise that God has given will be fulfilled. I still read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the well-known word that we quote time and again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 19. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. We can nothing for it. God did that. Our task, or out of love for him, it would be fitting for us to thank the Lord for it. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. You all know, there are people on earth who believe all kinds of things. They seek God where he is not to be found. They see him where he isn't at all. There are many sacred places, saints here and saints there. Our brothers are from India. There is not only the holy temple and the holy water, there is the sacred cow, and there are some other sacred things from the cow and so forth. You can't even say all these things. People are misled, not knowing what God has done. Do you realize how great our responsibility is? We have not only been reconciled to God, in us is the word of reconciliation. We have become a part of this word by the reconciliation. And therefore Paul writes in the next verse, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Did we all read it and believe it? As his ambassadors, we speak, "God beseeches you by us." I think it was Brother Barrier who said here today, "We are not here that God can preach by us. We are here that God can speak through us, that he can work through us, that he can besiege by us, to bring the word of reconciliation to mankind, that they hear the call and understand it as the call of God, and not think, huh, this is some kind of religious club there. No, this we are not. We are the church of the living God, the blood-bought multitude that believes on the finished work of redemption. Do you all believe it? It's good if we say Amen every now and then. It is part of it. The Amen is not directed to the speaker, but to God. And of our Lord it says, thus saith the witness, who is the Amen. He is the Amen. All the promises of God are in him, yea and amen. Tomorrow we will still come to many scriptures from which we will get a picture rounded off and completed in a way that we have probably never seen it before. Let us summarize. Mankind has been separated from God. Eve fell under Satan's influence, and Adam under Eve's influence, and all was lost. Eve was still a virgin when the serpent, and here we have again the trouble with the German language, almost in every other language, the masculine word is written there. Not the she serpent, but he the serpent. But in the German language, we have only one word for both genders, for both. Very strange. So exact as our language is. And when it then comes to that point, then the translators were perplexed and didn't know what to do. It was. It has happened, as we all know. Cain was the result. And that's how Satan, with his influence and with everything, he came into the human race and pulled everything into perdition, into death, and into hell. If Christ would not have come and all the sacrifices in the Old Testament had not already been made until the perfect sacrifice comes, then Satan would have taken everything down with him. But thanks be to our Lord, who knew before the foundation of the world who would believe and who would not believe. And so he could write our names already in the Lamb's Book of Life, before we were even here. Some don't even wonder why Cain is not listed in the genealogy, neither in the Old nor in the New Testament. They don't ask why it doesn't say once that Cain was the son of Adam, or that Adam was the father of Cain. They just read over it. Thank God for this tremendous revelation of what happened there in the Garden of Eden. There a virgin whom the devil abused through the serpent, and here a second virgin who God overshadowed to call a divine kindred into existence here on this earth. And thus Christ was the beginning of the creation of God. Hallelujah. Praise be to the living God. Yes, there have been and still are those who attack Brother Branham very sharply over this very matter. And they say one could still have accepted that he is a prophet, for after all, God has done great things through him. But then it comes, tell me whether you also believe what he preached about the fall. And in that moment, when you say, "Of course I believe it," then the countenance of these people darkens. You can really watch it. They cannot stand divine revelation. But everything is based upon revelation. And Jesus said, "Father, I thank you that you have hidden it to the wise and prudent, but to the babes you revealed it." There the one, here the other. There the first Adam, here the second Adam. There the first Eve, here the second. Here a human animal race, here a divine human kindred. We will talk more about that tomorrow. Glorious and wonderful. Now we see why God had to come into the flesh and why there had to be divine blood with divine life in this earthly body. Namely, to redeem mankind from the fall and to make it a divine kindred. We only find God where He is, namely in Jesus Christ our Lord. Only in Him did God become man. Only in Him has God revealed Himself to mankind. In no philosopher, in no country, our Lord was the Word made flesh. The only one who could say, "He who sees me sees the Father." Amen. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. We stand up to pray. We sing the chorus, "Just as I am." Heavenly Father, we not only sang it, we come, we see the Lamb of God, but we also see that already in the Garden of Eden, the first people were clothed with skins, that there the first blood was shed to have skins, so that Adam and Eve could be clothed in them. Then we see Abel offering the right sacrifice. O faithful God, you revealed yourself to your own from the very beginning. Even without a Bible, you gave them revelations to all your servants, to all your prophets. Today we have your entire Word, Old and New Testament. Lord, today we thank you in a special way that you have taken on the form of a servant, that you have taken on a mortal body. You died in the body and made alive in the spirit after you first descended and preached to the spirits in prison. O faithful Lord, what shall we say to it? Before us is a wonderful plan of salvation. You made the damage well again. Praise be to thy name. You didn't impute to us the transgressions. You took it all on yourself. Yes, the chastisement was laid on you, so that we might have peace, and by your stripes we were healed. Today we thank you together for Calvary. We worship you because you redeemed us from the realm of Satan, from death, from bondage, from everything. You set us free and you translated us into the kingdom of your dear Son. You have done great things for us. Today, we are on your side. Today, we agree with you and confess that Satan is a liar, a deceiver, and a murderer from the very beginning. From today on, we believe you, O Lord. We believe, as the scripture says, you took upon yourself our transgressions, and as the Lamb of God, you carried away the sins of the world. All our guilt fell on you. We thank you for that. And now we are free. The letter of requirement is torn in pieces because the debt is paid. We thank you for it. You gave us new divine life by your grace. Today, we want to thank you, for today we see clearly why blood had to be shed, why you had to take on flesh and blood and the shape of a man, so that you can redeem us humans and restore us into the divine state. Not a doctrine and not a knowledge, but the work of redemption accomplished through you and in you on Calvary. Lord, we glorify you and we praise you and we adore you. For God was in Christ and reconciled the world to himself. As reconciled ones, as the redeemed ones, as people who were set free, we may thank you today from the bottom of our hearts. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! You snatched us away from Satan. We are God's possession for time and for eternity. Hallelujah! To your glorious and wonderful name. Amen. Amen.